one named Wood. One named Wood.
Blitz is on. Rodgers winds up rainbow. He's got time to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends. Too much sport.
Throwing, and it is a fingertip.
Put your hands together for Woo and Why.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wood and Why. Today we're doing episode 19 and 20, AFC and NFC preview. Once again, we are joined by Scott at OzScottL on Twitter. How you going, mate?
I'm very well. How are you boys?
Great. Not too bad. I'm awesome.
Witten's here as well.
Thanks for introducing me.
Oh, I was going to do that later. It's sort of a surprise have you sort of chime in.
Yep.
So we're going to go through who we think will win each division. We've got some players to look out for this season, fantasy MVPs, and a bold prediction for each team, and then we'll do our playoff brackets. But before we get into that, we're just going to get to some news. To kick off our news is our weird web story this week.
You gotta get out of here. This is crazy. You're so weird.
No. You're really weird.
You're so weird.
All right, and the weird web story is Rex Grossman is now a Cleveland Brown. It's not a weird story, but it's weird that Rex Grossman is now relevant in our lives again.
You thought he was gone. He just
hasn't had a snap since 2011.
Just keeps coming back, Rex.
Come back. Will he play one meaningful snap this season, boys?
Not for me.
Scott?
I think he could if there are multiple injuries like Cleveland had last year, but I wouldn't count on it.
Nah. Yeah. Do you think he'll make the final roster?
Who's the other quarterback? Who's the other third quarterback there? Is there another one?
They got rid of Thigpen.
Replaced all right, he'll make it, but he'll just sit there all year.
Yeah, I think he's a Kyle Shanahan ringing. If Shanahan wasn't there, he wouldn't have been bought in, so I think he'll stay around.
Yep, fair enough. All right, that's the weird web story this week. And Hard Knocks premiered. Did you boys watch first episode? I know the second one is aired today.
No, I watched them in a...
I did have a watch. It's always interesting watching a new series. Looks like this one's going to be reasonably exciting.
Yep. You said, what were you saying?
Oh, I binge watch, so...
Oh, so you wait till it's finished and watch it all at once.
Yeah.
All right, well, I won't ask you who have been the stars of the show so far. I'll ask Scott who he thinks has been the star so far.
Oh, that's a very good question. I kind of like the Roddy White, what's his, and William Moore battle that's going on. A bit of the
banter.
Trash talk on field. I'm quite enjoying that little storyline.
I like that one as well. I didn't mind the fight between Croy Bierman and Jake Matthews.
You know, it was always... There's a few fights on that first episode. A lot of angry dudes going into
A lot of angry birds. Please turn your phone off. I liked also Harry Douglas. I thought he's hilarious.
He packs his own luggage.
Yep.
And don't touch his luggage.
Don't mess with his vibe. He's a clean freak. I don't know. He had some good one-liners. I really liked him. All right. Some quick injury nuggets and suspension nuggets. Marvin Jones is out to 6 to 8 weeks. Denny Trevathan's 4 to 8 weeks. Orlando Scandrick, 4 weeks suspension for PEDs. And we're still waiting for Josh Gordon.
Still.
Takeaways from all those news?
Well, the Orlando Scandrick thing's kind of, silly.
Yeah.
What was it? Wasn't it apparently it was laced with amphetamines or something? What was in his Cosmopolitan?
I don't know. All I know is, hey, Dallas, I played cornerback once when I played at the park. Yeah. If you need another defender, just give me a ring because you need all the help you can get right now. You got nothing.
That's at all. Bay. To be a Cowboys fan this year is gonna be rough. It could be really rough.
Yeah.
He's hands down their best secondary player the last few years, and so that is just going from bad to worse in Dallas. It's ridiculous.
They're dropping like flies. Patriots made two trades today. Mostly sort of no-name ones. I think they took advantage of Dallas needing a defensive back. sort of swung someone their way. But they also acquired former Packers second-round pick Jarrell Worthy, defensive lineman, for an undisclosed pick. So not much to take away from that, although it'll somehow pull off and be a genius move from Belichick. Just watch, I guess. And the last bit of news is the New South Wales government has stated that they plan to go hard to bring more US sport fixtures down under. It's very good news. I'd like to see that.
It's great news.
It's great news. The practicality, though, is tough, especially with NFL. But if it means more baseball or some more ice hockey,
yeah,
who could say no?
I honestly don't care which sport. I mean, obviously, we're all keen for them to bring an NFL game down here, but... You know, if they want to bring ice hockey or whatever.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Even some basketball series.
Yeah, definitely.
I think some people think might be a preseason because you've seen NBA go to the Philippines and Taiwan, things like that. But yeah, NFL would be the...
I'm pretty sure we'd have front row seats.
Yeah. and that leads us to our to the petition. Scott, have you signed the NFL to Australia petition?
I certainly have.
Yes, and me and Josh, as you all know, have signed it, and Scott's been working hard, and look, he's been happy with the news of the government, but it's not helping signatures, so people think, oh no, the government's got to handle it. Still sign it, it's a good secondary evidence to submit to the government, say, look, people want this, and it's sort of stuff that they can use to use with promoters and things like that, so get on board and sign it. He works his butt off, and that's the news for today.
Let's go, guys. It's a game. It's a game out here I want to play in.
All right. We're going to kick off with the AFC East.
The AFC. Then the AFC.
Yes. We'll kick off with the East. Josh.
Josh?
Yep. Go for it.
Woot.
Woot.
All right. I don't think this is going to be much of a surprise. I have the... sorry, someone's breaking into our studio. yeah, I have the New England Patriots topping the AFC East, as per usual. Then I have the Miami Dolphins coming second. I think that with Laser taking over the offensive coordinator role, coming from the Philadelphia quarterback coach, I think that's a smart move. It seems to be, like, the first preseason game, they were flying offensively. Yep. So I thought that was a good move. Originally I had the Jets coming, you know, dead last in the entire NFL, but now I've changed my tone. I was talking to Y about this before. I think, you know, they're starting to, you know, not look amazing, but they're looking at least a little bit more solid than what I thought. You see Vic's running preseason?
He's fast.
He's still got it. Yeah, so the Jets I've got third, and Buffalo as usual coming in fourth.
Yep. That's all right.
Scotty.
Yeah. It's hard to not go with New England to win the division. That's probably the most wide open division, and that's why they've won it pretty much every year since the NFL's ever existed. So they're coming in first, and that's not even going to be close. But I have the Bills actually coming in second. I reckon they're going to be one of those sneaky teams this year. And their defense, I reckon, is going to be very under the radar. A couple of bold predictions with the Bills I'm really looking forward to hoping to see come true. So I reckon they'll come second. I reckon the Jets will come in third place, not too far behind the Bills. You know, one of those middle-range teams. And I reckon the Dolphins will take a big step back this year and end up in the cellar of the AFC East.
That's amazing to me. Yeah. Like, that's amazing to me. Like, I have the Bills. I mean, you know, I could see the Bills, like, you know, moving up. I could see them coming third, but I can't see them overtaking the Dolphins.
I can't. I've got them coming in fourth. Look, they lost Jarris Bird. Now Kiko Alonso's out. I just think now they've lost too many pieces on defense. I love their defense, I really do, but those two pieces, they're arguably their two best players, and they're gone. And EJ Manuel is still eyeing off receivers. He's going to have a Brandon Whedon type year where everything's going to be battered down. As good as Sammy Watkins is, I just don't know if he can help EJ Manuel enough. And I'm a fan of Manuel. I liked him coming out of Florida State, but... just from what I've seen now, I don't know. I'm not confident in him. I'm more confident in Geno Smith. Mm-hmm. That's why I have the Jets coming third. And I really like Bill Lazor at Miami. I think that offense, Ryan Tannehill is still so underrated as a quarterback. Yeah, and I don't understand how.
He's a really solid quarterback.
He will get a Dalton-like deal in a couple of years, I think, because that's sort of the player he is. I think he's better than Andy, or can be better than Andy Dalton. And so I have, obviously, the Patriots coming in first.
But every preseason as well, they, you know, they kind of hype up the Lamar Miller bandwagon again.
Oh, I'm sick of hearing
and,
that.
And, like, I'm still on his bandwagon. I don't know. It's
still on it.
You know, he failed me last year in fantasy, and yet I'm still on his bandwagon. Still on it. Work that out.
I'm the opposite, and that's why I'm going with them coming fourth. Like, I love Tannehill too, but I'm not quite sure he's got that much around him. Mike Wallace, I don't know if he even exists as a good player outside of the system he's in Pittsburgh. And as you said, their running backs are... I mean, Marino was supposed to be some great pickup they had in the offseason, and he's almost extinct in this league, I think, now.
He is.
I've not heard a good thing about him for about 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got an alert today that he's back training and he's a chance to be the starter again, so I don't know. I thought he had a theory that he was just trying to tank and get picked up again by the Broncos.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it would have been. Do you want to go through some bold predictions for us in the AFC East and maybe some key players, some fantasy MVPs?
Besides the Bills.
Besides the Bills.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
So who are we going with? We're going the key player.
Yep.
Key player for the Pats would have to be Gronk.
I have Gronk as well.
Gronk's the...
Gronk 3?
He's the man. If Gronk goes out, it's a completely... I mean, Brady's still Brady, but, you know, it's a completely different looking team. People have to double team Gronkowski, which allows all these young receivers to, you know, make more space. And
look, Tom Brady is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but right now... Rob Gronkowski is their best player on their roster, and it's not even close. It's not even close. Like, he just makes so much difference. You watch Dobson and the players like that thrive now that they have open looks.
Yeah.
It's just going to make that offense flow so much better.
Yeah, and, like, Gronkowski is not extremely fast, but even when he just does those straight seams down the middle of the field, he opens the field up entirely. Yep. So, I mean, and that's just, you know, falling straight into Brady's hands.
Yeah.
Who else have we got? Dolphins? Yep. All right, I'll jump on the Miller bandwagon. if Laser, Bill Laser, can figure out some way to kind of have the same effect, get the offense moving, because, you know, they've been saying how fast the Miami offense has been moving and training and stuff, and, you know, I think he's taken some huge tips out of Chip Kelly's offensive, you know, mindset, mantra, whatever you like. If they get it moving fast, and they can... I mean, Lamar Miller doesn't have the, you know, sideways agility that McCoy does, but, you know, if he kind of puts him in space...
He has the speed.
Lamar Miller's a fast guy, so, I mean, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Just back to the Patriots. Sure. I got an X factor for them this year.
Yeah.
Darrell Revis, obviously, is going to be a huge role, but I think if Brandon Browner can be the Brandon Browner that we know... That's like locks down their corner positions, and it is going to be tough to throw on them. And who do they need to beat to make it the Super Bowl? Denver. And what do they do? Throw the ball. I think Brandon Browner is the X factor for them this year. And I think Tom Brady could be their best fantasy, most valuable player this year. I think where you're getting him in drafts, now with Gronk back, I think he has a lot of value and a lot of upside.
Yeah.
Scott.
They were saying that he didn't look too fit going into camp and stuff when they first started. But now, ever since that,
Browner.
He played well, and, you know, he looks like the guy that started off in Seattle last year.
Yeah. Scott,
Browner will miss the first four games of the season too, so wait to see how that works out in terms of integrating into the system. But he should be okay with a preseason under his belt anyway.
Yep.
With the Patriots, I've actually got Gronk written everywhere across my predictions page. He's going to be their key player. He's going to be their X Factor. He's going to be their leading fantasy guy. As you guys said, he's so damn important to the success of that team.
Yep.
You know, guys like Amendola. I mean, Amendola's he's an average receiver, but he can be one of those Tom Brady Pro Bowl receivers if he has a guy like Gronk being able to space and confuse defenses. In terms of the Patriots, it's all about Gronk this season for me.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I mean, I really like Amendola, and I think he has great hands. So, you know.
Yep.
It's perfect for him.
All right. Bold prediction for the Patriots this year, Scott.
Tom Brady is going to be the NFL's MVP.
Whoa, that's bold. It's very bold. Mine is...
Scotty, that's crazy. Yeah. We've started it off on fire.
He's good at bold predictions.
Yeah.
I love me a bold pick.
Yeah. My bold prediction is Brady will actually receive a high five from his teammates.
Oh.
Wow.
Maybe after he wins his MVP award, they finally give him a high five.
Double or nothing, who's going to give him a high five?
Oh. I reckon Gronk now that he's back.
Belichick.
Gronk's not
It has to be a player?
Yeah.
This is random.
Yeah.
Vereen.
Vereen?
Yeah. Vereen will give Brady a high five.
Okay, yeah, alright. Have you got a bold prediction, Josh?
I just think that I haven't making the Super Bowl, so...
Okay, that's pretty bold.
There you go.
Yeah, alright, we'll move on to the Dolphins. You already listed Lamar Miller. My key player, I think, is their two tackles that they brought in, Jaywan James and Brandon Albert. I think the key for Tannehill is to stay upright. And with Bill Lazor there, I think we might have a little fantasy MVP with Mike Wallace. I think he will have a bounce-back season. And my bold prediction for them is that Mike Wallace will have a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown season. Yep.
There you go. That's our, like, little soundbite.
Yeah.
Go, Scott.
I've got Ryan Tannehill being pretty key for them. You know, ultimately, when you're trying to work out who's the key player, you always lean on the quarterback. He's a really, really, really good quarterback in terms of his arm strength, and I think he can do amazing things if he had people around him. So if they're going to have any success this year, he's going to have to manufacture a fair bit because I don't have too much confidence in their offense, as I said. I think Rashad Matthews might be their X factor. He's a guy who, I think it was on a Thursday night, I can't remember who they played, but it was a Thursday nighter last year where I think he had about 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and everyone was sort of thinking, who the hell is this guy? He did nothing else for the rest of the year, but I think he showed enough glimpses where he can easily be integrated. He's a second-year receiver now, easily integrated into that offense. And Charles Clay is going to be another one. I think he's going to be the fantasy stud for them.
Yeah.
He was... he's a fullback tight end hybrid, but he was a breakout guy last year. I think he can go to strength and strength again this year.
Yeah, could not agree more. Yeah.
Bold pick, though, they're going to be a bottom five team by the end of the year. They'll have a top five draft pick in next year's draft.
You've started us off with some really bold predictions here.
It's go bold or go home.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure that's a saying. We'll go with that.
That's our new saying.
Yeah.
We'll have bumper stickers soon.
Bold prediction, Mr. Woot.
I reckon they'll be a top 10 offense. Should we say that? Is that bold enough?
That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's kick us off with the Jets as well, Josh.
The Jets, their key player. I think it's kind of a toss up. I mean, like Scott just said, starts at the quarterback position. So, you know, whoever they pick, which I'm pretty sure now that I've fallen off the Vic bandwagon, even though I still think he's still got stuff left. Like, if Geno Smith, you know, gets hurt, Vic can step right in. So they've got at least someone. But I still think it's in Geno Smith's hands. But I also think that the acquisition of Chris Johnson will make, like, much more bigger. Complete. Yeah, much more complete side. Wow, tongue twister right here. Yeah, I mean, Ivory didn't do that much last year. Bilal Powell.
he is.
Yeah, and you know, Chris Johnson, he's, even though he never reached the 2K mark again, he's still been consistent to a degree.
Yep.
So I think that's what they needed, and I think Chris Johnson will have a much better season under the Jets than he did the Titans, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Scott?
I'm going to go with Geno as a key player too, not necessarily because of the Colt quarterback thing, but I think just in terms of the Jets' long-term future, a guy like Geno needs to have a strong second season. I think last year he showed a few glimpses, and it was one of those scenarios where you could sort of fall back on that he's a rookie excuse, but going into year two, I think he's going to have a strong year, and if he ends up getting injured or loses out to Michael Vick, everyone knows Michael Vick's not going to be there for any longer than maybe a year or two, so you don't want to get to the end of this year and sort of have Geno Smith 2 years into his career and haven't really made too many strides, because that's ultimately what leads to people like Blaine Gabbert being traded to San Francisco to be irrelevant. So I think it's going to be a key year for Geno, and I think he's going to step up, and he's going to be the leader of this Jets franchise going forward.
Yep.
He's going to be their key. Stephen Hill's going to be their X factor. I know, you know, a lot of people like him. He's probably their number one receiver, but I think he's going to take another big step forward and almost be Geno's favourite toy. In terms of fantasy studs, I've got nobody written in bold capital letters because I'm not touching anyone from the Jets this year. Maybe, obviously, in deeper leagues, you'll jump into guys, but in standard leagues, there's not really anyone who tickles my fancy.
No.
So if you're in a league against me, take all the Jets you want because I'm not touching them.
Yeah.
And my bold pick is that Mike Vick won't actually start a single game this year. He might actually have snaps, but he won't start a game for the Jets.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Come on, Scott. That's not that bold.
Come on, man.
Go on, soft.
You started high, man.
Yeah. I've got Geno Smith written all over my page. I'm a Geno believer. I like him. I think he's, again, I could not agree more with you what you said about your future of the franchise. If Geno doesn't have a good year this year and they finish in the bottom echelon of the league, they will be looking at a quarterback again.
Yep.
In the draft. And, I think he could be a fantasy MVP for the Jets, only because, as Scott said, there's not much else there. But a thing to look at is Geno Smith had a lot of 20-point-plus games last year. So when he was hot, he was hot. So in maybe two quarterback leagues, he might be maybe a bench, or you might have to desperately have him as your number two guy. But I think he might have some value. And my bold prediction is Geno Smith will throw more touchdowns than interceptions this year. So we'll move on to the Bills, and I'll kick us off. We might have a quarterback theme for this whole show with the key players, but it is EJ Manuel, and it's the same reason with Geno Smith. It's your second year. You need to have a good season, or you could be saying goodbye. And I think their X factor is Sammy Watkins. Have you seen some of those one-handed catches in training?
That was amazing the other day. Yeah.
Incredible. And fantasy MVP is the guy lining up opposite him. He's gone a bit cold the last few days. Everyone's sort of jumping off Robert Woods, but I think long-term he'll be that guy opposite Sammy Watkins that could get a lot of looks. And my bold prediction is Preston Brown will lead all rookies in tackles.
Wow.
It's a good bold pick.
Yeah.
It's nice.
All right, Scott, kick us off.
I would probably go with that same reasoning on EJ Manuel, but I don't want to sound like a broken record and have the exact same sort of thing for two straight teams.
Yeah.
I've got Mario Williams as their key player this year. As you boys mentioned earlier, that Bills defense has taken a few blows with Alonzo out and Bird's gone. He's clearly their best player on their defense. They brought him in for a reason. He's actually been quite good with the Bills. You wouldn't know it because the Bills are such a small market team who never win. But I reckon he's going to be their key player this year, and that leads into a bold pick. I reckon he's going to have a 20-plus sack season this year.
Mario Williams. That's so bold.
How many did he say?
20.
20 sacks. This is incredible.
That is, yeah. He's back. He's back on the bold one.
I think their X factor is going to be Preston Brown. As you said, why? Yeah, he's going to be a fantastic player, and he's going to fill in for Kiko Alonso, one would think.
Yep.
I believe it was his wife or his girlfriend that tweeted me and you post-draft after we pumped his tires up.
Yep.
He's going to be a good little addition. He could easily be the Kiko Alonso of this year.
Yeah, well, we're Preston Brown fans, and his wife are our fans. So
yeah,
it's a good little circle.
If you're listening, Preston Brown's wife, give us a follow.
Yeah.
And then my fantasy stud is a guy who I think he gets maligned a lot just because he gets vultured at the goal line for touchdowns, but I don't mind CJ Spiller. Maybe not as a starter, maybe as an RB2 or... three, and definitely in deeper leagues, but I don't mind CJ Spiller on my fantasy team. I think he's someone who can score you points, and he's going to get touches. I know they traded for Bryce Brown over the draft from the Eagles, but apparently he's going to be shelved for the year. Red-shirted would be the college term.
Yeah.
So Spiller's going to get his carries, and I reckon he's going to do fantasy owners quite well.
Cool.
We'll just say key player. I'm not going to change. I'm just going to leave it. It's EJ.
Yep.
X factor. I think it has... well, I'll say, all right. Fantasy MVP is... I think it will be Sammy Watkins. If they find some way to kind of sort out their offense, I'm not saying he's going to have a Julio Jones kind of rookie season, but, you know, he could really show, like, why he was so highly rated. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if he went to the Falcons, he could have the exact kind of season that Julio Jones had. So, yep. I mean, the talent's there. We're not going to deny that. But, yeah, so if they get him the ball, that's fine. Bold prediction. I'm going to have to go against Scott and say that Fred Jackson will have more fantasy points than CJ Spiller by the end of the season.
Second year running.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to the AFC West, and I'll start us off with who I have coming in first, and I think everyone will have them coming in first, and that's the Denver Broncos. I just think the changes they've made on defense are really going to help them in the postseason. I think they'll still easily win the division, but the postseason is where their mindset is. And, like, yes, they lost a few players on offense, but I think they replaced them well. Emmanuel Sanders is a good player, and Monte Ball, I think, is an upgrade over NoSean Marino. So I think that offense will fire on all cylinders.
That's a big call, because Marino played well.
He did play well, but I think now second year Monte Ball, he'll be ready. He's worked on his pass protection. He'll be right. I have San Diego Chargers coming in second. I like that they've brought in Flowers and Verrett to sort of solidify that secondary with Weddle. The lack of pass rush concerns me a little bit. Ingram was out last year, but if he's healthy, he is a good, solid player. I have the Chiefs coming third. I think they take a regression. They've lost way too much of their offensive line. Apart from Dwayne Bowe, who's only on once a month, like, he's just...
Yep.
When he wants to play it, who's Alex Smith going to throw the ball to?
Well, you know what? Dwayne Bowe got a lot of targets last year. He did. As well, but
if that's your key weapon besides Jamal Charles, I don't know. I think you're in for a long year. And Oakland Raiders, who I think had a really good draft, but I still think they're leaps and bounds behind everyone else. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Raiders drafted well.
They did have a good draft, but I think that'll help them more in the longer run. Yeah. Maybe 2016.
And after the start of the free agency where everyone thought, what are they doing? They came out solid.
They did.
Yeah, I don't have any different. Broncos are the clear favourites. I was a bit more torn between the Chargers and Chiefs, it seems, than you.
Yep.
I still think, even though, with a lot of missing pieces for the Chiefs, you can call them, I guess, I still think they could go under the radar. Their defence still, even though it was preseason, they performed pretty well the other day.
Yep.
Yeah, but I have them third behind the Chargers. Chargers, can Ryan Matthews perform again? That's a big if. But if he does get hurt, they have Donald Brown. I think Donald Brown's going to be a bigger part than everyone thinks.
Yep.
And, I have the Raiders following behind.
Cool. Scott?
Would I shock you if I told you that I've got the Raiders coming first this season?
Completely, man.
Because I don't, so I'm not going to go with that. I've got the Broncos winning it because, much like the Patriots, you'd have to be on drugs not to say that the Broncos are going to win that division. They've got better since last year. I think they know they're on their last legs with Peyton in terms of the window's not going to stay open for 5 years. They're a win-now team, and they're going to easily win it now. And then the rest is all the same pretty much. Chargers come in second. The Chiefs come in third, but those teams are both going to be on the playoff bubble, contending for a wild card, and then the Raiders are going to be dead last.
Yep.
Nothing too different from you boys.
Yeah, no worries. We'll kick us off with your Denver Broncos dot points.
Me? Yep. All right, why not? Well, the key player, if it's anyone other than Peyton Manning, then you're pretty crazy. He's clearly key to their success. The reason why people were saying when he was in Indianapolis with that neck injury and missed the season and he should have been the MVP of the league, because he literally is a kind of player, when you take him out of a good team or a great team, they become the world's worst team. And I don't think that would be necessarily the case with the Broncos, but I still think he is clearly the key to all their success, because Brock Osweiler is not going to do anything with that offense. Well, he probably will, but he's definitely not going to do it in a Peyton Manning style way. And I think Ronnie Hillman is going to be their X factor. Much like Monty Ball last year behind Marino, how Ball, he got enough touches, he got some touchdowns. I think Hillman's going to sort of take that stuff up as well. And be that reliable number two. I don't think that John Fox and that offense are going to do too much different to what they did last year. Running back by committee, and Ronnie Hillman, I reckon, is going to have not a fantastic year, but I reckon he'll have an under-the-radar good year. And then Peyton Manning's clearly going to be their fantasy star. You know, if you have the chance to get him in late round, first round of draft, do it. He's going to be amazing. And believe it or not, as much as I'd love to pump up their tires, my bold prediction is that the Denver Broncos will miss a top two seed in the AFC this season.
Nice, Scotty.
That is bold.
I'm loving this. I can't wait to see his bracket. Anyway, you go.
I actually apparently am on drugs because Von Miller is my key player. We know Peyton is their key player, so I just wanted to go with someone different. I think Denver really missed having Von Miller down the stretch last year, and I think now with DeMarcus Ware that he could really explode and be a difference maker, and that defense now I think is going to be really good. And their X factor, I have Chris Harris, who I think is such an underrated corner. And when he tore his ACL and missed the playoffs, that really hurt. I know they got pumped offensively in the Super Bowl, but having no defense, I think that sort of changed their mindset a little bit. They tried to go too hard on offense, and Seattle just ran over them.
The number of missed tackles.
It was crazy. My fantasy MVP is Peyton Manning, and I've always been a running back early guy, but if you can get him in the first round late, you have a 5-point. Advantage over anyone else in your league, because you know he's going to throw 3-4 touchdowns a game, and heck, he may even run for one. You've seen a couple of old bootlegs.
He is the greatest bootlegger in the history of bootlegs.
He's excellent.
Because it's so, so deceptive.
And my bold prediction is the Denver defense finishes top three this year.
Top three.
Yeah, I changed that 5, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to up Scott's boldness, and I'm going to go top three.
From here, it looks like toys.
Excuse my writing.
All right. To avoid being scorned by Scott, I'll say that the key player is Peyton. I think that, like you said, without Peyton, they become a completely different team. I think Peyton is so much more to this offense because I don't think John Fox... we've touched on this before. Yeah. We think Peyton's more of a coach than John Fox is.
Yeah.
So, I mean... You know, he is controlling that offense. He's the one that, John Fox will call a play. He'll just audible out of it. He doesn't like it anyway. Yeah. So I think that he's definitely the key player. I think the acquisition of Talib, I think he is a big X factor. I think, like you said, Chris Harris is great on one side. But Talib, he... For the Pats last year, down the stretch, he kind of went missing.
Yeah.
And if that happens, it's... that could spell, disaster for Denver. I mean, like Scott said, they're in win now.
Yep.
So, I mean, if everyone's not on board and not all pulling their finger out, then it might be, horrible for them. Fantasy? I think it's Monte Ball's time to shine. I mean, I think so many people are on his bandwagon. Everyone's hoping that he has a Marino-type year if you're drafting him in the first round.
Yep.
So, I mean, if he does do that, he'll be a great pickup. Bold prediction.
Yep.
Interesting, this one. Let's say Emmanuel Sanders finishes with more yards than Wes Welker. Should we say that?
Yeah.
Not too bold, but...
No, that's all right. That's solid. That's pretty cool.
All right, there you go.
Start us off with the Chargers then, Josh.
Okay, the key player. I don't want to keep saying quarterback, but I feel like it has to be Rivers to me. Second year under... who we got?
McCoy.
McCoy, that's right. I don't know why I was going to say Wisenhunt.
He's gone.
Yeah, second year under McCoy. I think that if he can continue to, to find open receivers like he did with Keenan Allen, have that kind of year again, I think Chargers are... in prime position to hit second spot and make the playoffs.
Yep.
X factor. Interesting. This is actually tough for me, I think. I'll say Ladarius Green. I think that Antonio Gates' time is coming to an end. I think he's more of the blocking now, and I think Ladarius Green is a good receiving tight end, I think. So, he could... Keenan Allen making space, I think he could be the one to fill that hole.
Yep.
Fantasy MVP.
Well, you just named him, didn't you?
Yeah, if you like that kind of thing. I don't know. depends how high you want to draft him.
Yeah.
That's a bit, he's a bit of a question mark.
It's all about value.
It's all about value, so I don't know about that. Bold prediction for the Chargers. I think that Donald Brown ends up with more yardage and touchdowns and everything. I think he becomes the man by the season's end. Ryan Matthews fumbles. Watch.
We're not Ryan Matthews fans.
No.
Scott?
Yeah, I've got Rivers as the key player as well. I think early in his career when he had Gates and LT around him, that wasn't really his franchise. And a lot of their success was off the back of, you know, guys like, especially guys like LT and Gates and even Sean Merriman on defense. But I think last year was probably that was his career year. And it really showed that this is his team now and he's the one who's going to lead them to another little successful period. So I think this is going to be a good year for him. And he's going to be their catalyst for success. I've got him as my fantasy stud as well, purely for the same reason. I couldn't think of too many X factors. I wanted to say Allen, but that's pretty obvious considering that he had a pretty good year last year and everyone knows his name by now. So I just went back to a prediction I made from the draft predictions, and I'm going with Jerry Itachu as a linebacker. He might as well have a good year. I think he's third on the depth chart at the moment, but that's going to always change.
You say he might as well have a good year?
Might as well. I mean,
for your prediction, he might as well have it.
Yeah, exactly. He might as well be my X factor. I mean, I stuck with him as a guy to watch in the draft, so I might as well stick with him, show some faith in the kid, and hope he has a good year. But my bold prediction is probably my favourite of all the bold predictions.
Here we go.
It's sort of like a two-parter because I've got the Chargers as the last undefeated team this year. And because I looked at their schedule, they meet Denver in Week 8, which is when their undefeated run will come to an end. But they'll be 7-0 by the time they reach Denver. And that'll include wins against Arizona in the opening week and then Seattle in Week 2.
This is crazy.
That's so bold.
If people thought there weren't going to be bold predictions on the show, they're doozies by Scott. This is crazy.
I'm just throwing caution to the wind and saying screw it. Yeah. Let's go with the big stuff.
Yeah. I had similar answers to you boys for key player and X factor, so I don't want to repeat ourselves. But my fantasy MVP is Malcolm Floyd. He's sort of just really under the radar. Like, you haven't heard his name at all, but if you read some Chargers training camps, he's looking quite healthy, and he was a favorite of Rivers before Keenan Allen came across. And after Keenan Allen, can you name another wide receiver there? Vincent Brown's gone. I think Floyd could be a really deep sleeper in some leagues, and who knows? He might have some value halfway through the year, maybe as a free agent pickup, so that's tremendous value. And my bold prediction, despite naming Malcolm Floyd my valuable, I think Keenan Allen will lead the league in targets this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you think about it, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. All right, I'll start us with the Chiefs. My key player is not a quarterback. It is running back, obviously, Jamaal Charles. Look, if Alex Smith can screen pass to Jamaal Charles 20 times a game, he'll do that. Because Charles is a weapon. With the ball in his hands, he can score from anywhere. He's a stud. There's not much else to say. His holdout, he deserved it. He deserved the pay rise. It was smart. My X factor is Travis Kelce, second-year tight end. And as I said before, with the wide receivers, there's not much targets for Alex Smith. So I think he might get comfortable with Kelce. And tight ends are always a safe, reliable target for him, so I think he might have a solid year. Not fantasy relevant, I don't think, but just in terms of just being a safety blanket for Alex Smith. My fantasy MVP is Chiefs defense. I think they're going to have a lot of sacks, and that's going to lead me to my bold prediction. I think Tamba Hali, D Ford, and Justice Houston all get double digit sacks.
Whoa! There you go. That's I like that.
I'm not saying they're going to get 15 each, but, you know, 10, 11, and 12, or something like that, or even just 10 each.
How's that for you, Sky? Is that bold?
That's good enough for bold. I'll count that.
You count that? All right, well, why don't you tell us your dot points?
My key players for the Chiefs are Houston, Harley, and pretty much all the defense. When you look at the Chiefs' season last year, when they had that hot start, they were the last undefeated team. And then the wheels sort of fell out, not because they played the Broncos, but because, you know, Justin Houston got injured, Harley got injured, and that number one defense sort of took a tumble without that leadership and true drive in the middle. So I think if those two can't have good seasons, or if they can't get on the field this year, you'll probably see much of the same. So if the Chiefs want to be a playoff team again this year, those guys have really got to stay in the team, because I'm not quite sure. I mean, they did pick up Dee Ford, but he's a guy who plays on the outside. You know, you take any defense and you take out the middle and you're going to be in trouble. So I think if you took out their middle, like we saw last year, the bottom's going to fall out again. So they're my key players. The X factor is a guy who, if you watched the Chiefs preseason game, you would have seen the young kid from Oregon, DeAnthony Thomas, absolute jet, run it back for a touchdown. He's going to be my X factor this year, and he's also going to be my bold prediction. He's going to either break or equal the return touchdown record, which is currently held by Devin Hester and Patrick Peterson.
I'm gonna
take a note out of Scott's book and do key players.
Yep.
I think everyone's spoke about how the Chiefs' offensive line has kind of been, you know, they didn't replace the players they lost, kind of thing like that. So I think the key players, their offensive line, ones that, you know, they're now, or the ones that remain.
Yep.
They really have to step it up, and, you know, look at what Charles did last year. He dominated. So, I mean, if they can keep the line, you know, solid, healthy, maybe not to the same level as last year, but keep, you know,
enough to
respectable. Yes. So, so then the likes of Charles and DeAnthony Thomas, like Scott said, he will, they can make space, and you know what happens if they have space with the ball. So that's fine. X Factor, I was just whispering to Josh, Scott stole mine. I think DeAnthony Thomas, or the Black Mamba, as they call him, he was
the original Black Mamba, by the way.
Yeah, the original. Well, go. Were you saying someone else was the original, or he is the original?
No, he is the original. I mean, Kobe Bryant's obviously the most famous Black Mamba, but DeAnthony Thomas is actually the original Black Mamba, as christened by Snoop Dogg.
Oh.
True story. Like, that is not a word of a lie.
Snoop. All right, yeah. There you go. That's funny. The Black Mamba. If they... originally, I didn't think they were going to use him as much. I thought they were...
They might have to.
That's what I'm thinking now. That he might be their toy. He might be kind of like a Sproles kind of, you know, just a receiving back for the first season, or, you know, as such. Bold prediction. It's tough. I don't know.
It's tough when we just have two really good ones.
Yeah,
the pressure cooker is on.
Yeah, good. I think Charles is still the number one fantasy back, and come season's end.
Okay.
It's not terribly bold, but it's never happened before. Really, it hasn't happened since 3 years. For a while. So there you go.
All right, Oakland. I'm not gonna say much about Oakland. I just struggled so much to find a key player. I'm just gonna go straight to my bold prediction. I just think if you're an Oakland Raiders fan, you'll enjoy watching them this year. I think their front seven look really good. So I think Khalil Mack will have a really good year. So I'm going to put him as my key player, my X Factor. And as a fantasy MVP, I think if you can get a healthy Darren McFadden for a whole 16-game season, I think that gives you value for where you're getting him in drafts. But my bold prediction is Derek Carr will take over week three after Shub throws three interceptions in week one and four interceptions in week two. He's terrible. He is so bad.
He's the man who once led the league in passing.
I know. It baffles me. He's terrible.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go next, man.
Me too. I'll just skip. And I think that the X Factor, key player, everything. I think that, you know, over the last... I can't remember what the exact figures were. But Maurice Jones-Drew has led yards after the catch... after contact for like many years, for like the last, you know, no, I'm not saying he didn't win it last year, but over the last, you know,
seasons, he's been up there lot.
No, he was leader. I saw it somewhere. And I think if you can get him, I think McFadden breaks his leg or something.
God.
Wow, I just wish death upon the guy, don't you?
I think MJD he'll become fantasy relevant again if you get him. And I think that, you know, he'll be the diamond in the rough for the Raiders.
Well, he's going to have to be good after contact because that offensive line doesn't have much.
You know, I mean, it's going to be tough for him, but, you know, if you can get a reasonably healthy MJD, you might have some luck.
Yep. All right. Scott?
Yeah, I was in the fetal position when I was filling out these predictions for the Raiders because it's going to be pretty woeful, but
the fetal
I'm going to piggyback off what Whit was saying. MJD, I reckon he's going to have a breakout year again this year. He's sort of fallen off the radar in terms of a running back. It was only a couple of years ago he had the rushing title. I think it was about almost 1,700 yards, which for a running back, if you can get me 1,700 yards a year, you're doing pretty well for yourself. In the last few years, he's had injuries. He hasn't really performed too well. Hasn't had a 1,000-yard year, but a change of scenery. He's a California kid. I think it's going to be one of those years where that change of scenery is going to do wonders for him, and he's going to be relevant again as a top, not maybe one of the top running backs, but definitely a guy that people are going to regret giving up on. I've got nobody written in bold capital letters again for their fantasy because I'm not touching any of them. Even MJD, even after I pumped up his tires, they're going to have the league's worst record by the end of it. They're going to be drafting Brett Huntley, the quarterback out of UCLA, first in next year's draft. If you're a Raiders fan and you're listening, I'm sorry, but see you in February because you're not going to be relevant for the next
Oh, God. On one thing, when you said MJD, he is gone back home. That's where he's from. I heard an interview with him, and he's very happy to be home and more comfortable and more relaxed. So there was a lot of pressure on him in Jacksonville. So I think, you're on the money there. I think he's a bit more relaxed and he'll be ready to bust out and sort of have some fun.
I feel sorry for MJD. He's always been carrying that team that's been down the bottom. You know, Jags for so long.
And now he's got Oakland again.
He carried the Jags. He was the Jags for so many years. So, I mean, best of luck to him.
I'm so glad he's not in our division, the AFC South anymore. I'm really happy he's gone. All right, AFC North. I'll kick us off. I have the Steelers coming in first.
Yep.
I have the Bengals finishing second, the Ravens third, and Cleveland, who I think will improve this year. Unfortunately, the other teams are just a little bit better. I have them coming in fourth.
They have to improve, right?
Yeah.
They have to improve.
Yeah, I'll get to my analysis of them later. What have you got?
I have just one different to you. Yep. I have the Cincinnati Bengals coming in top of the AFC North. I have Steelers coming in second. Ravens. Party people. Ravens coming in third, and the Cleveland Browns improving but remaining bottom. Scott?
I'm kind of bummed out now because my bold prediction for the Steelers was going to be they win the division. But since you guys have picked them to win it and come second, that sort of takes a bit of the gloss off it. But yeah, they're going to come first in that division, I think. I've never really known the Steelers to ever be irrelevant. They've had a couple of down years, but they'll get back to where they should be. They've got a great coach. They've got a good quarterback. They've got pieces. Their defense is going to be reasonably good this year, even though they've lost a few. They're going to come in first. I've got the Ravens coming in second, minus the glow sticks and the raving party and the I've got the Bengals coming in third, and then the Browns fourth. Not totally behind the pace, but definitely the fourth best team in the division.
Yep. Do you want to expand on Pittsburgh with your points?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, the bold prediction was to win the division. I haven't met too many people who do rate them to win the division this year, but it's going to be a wide open division for me. And
yep,
they're probably the romantic pick. I'd love to see them. I've got friends in Pittsburgh, so I want to see them win again. Because when Pittsburgh is winning, it's good for the NFL. Because everyone loves the Steelers, unless you're an NFC North fan. Big Ben's going to be their key player. You can't really go past a guy that's got two Super Bowl rings. He might not be in that elite category. Some people say he is, some people say he's not.
I think he's definitely
one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Hard to actually get tackled. He's very strong, good arm, and he's going to have plenty of pieces around him. He's going to be their key guy. Their X factor, I reckon, is going to be Marcus Wheaton, especially after losing Sanders. He's going to be starting, or he's projected to start opposite Antonio Brown. He's going to be a guy I think will... he won't be a superstar player this year, but I think he's definitely going to be on people's radar by the end of the year. And in terms of a fantasy guy, you'd probably have to go with Antonio Brown. He's easily a wide receiver one if you're gonna grab him. The perfect thing about him in fantasy is he's a week 12 bye, which means he's not going to be up against a lot of the other wide receivers who have the week 9 bye. Yeah, so he's going to be my fantasy stud.
Yep. I have Big Ben as well, as you said before. He's actually healthy now. Like last year, it took him a while to get going.
Yep.
But when he got on those last 6 weeks, they really started to turn some wheels, and they actually should have made the playoffs. They got rorted with a field goal with the Chiefs and the Chargers and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, that's behind us. I think he is definitely an elite quarterback in the league at the moment. I think he can win, can beat anyone on his day. And my X factor, I've got the two rookies of all about the speed, Dre Archer and Ryan Shazier. I think they're going to have really good seasons for them, and they're going to bring that fast and that energy to both offense and defense. And you mentioned Marcus Wheaton. I think he's going to be a valuable pickup in fantasy, whether you get him probably later rounds, round 12 or 13 onwards. And my bold prediction is Jarvis Jones will actually do something. Now that Shazier's there, someone else in that linebacking core, I think he might get 10 sacks this year.
I've got Jarvis Jones in my IDP Dynasty League. I drafted him the other day, so I'm hoping that prediction comes true.
Yeah, I definitely will. Yeah.
Goodbye.
What was I saying? All right, I'll just say, yeah, Big Ben. Big Ben, he's the key to the Steelers. Without him, who else they got? I don't even... Who is the backup?
Not Charlie Batch.
No. Oh, thank goodness. That was...
Oh, he was all right when he needed to be, I guess.
Okay, but, he was just so awkward to watch for me.
He's bad to watch. Yeah. But, like, he got the job done sometimes.
It's Big Ben. He kind of has... He avoids sacks and tackles and things like that in a similar way that Tony Romo does, but with half the speed. He just looks so slow, and like he's going to get crushed, and just somehow he just moves past him and throws the ball downfield. I'll say X Factor, and I'll say MVP as well. I think Antonio Brown is still the key. I think, you know, he has over 100 receptions. He'll just turn it on. I think he's just... You know, he's such a consistent wide receiver. I think he's just... I think people recognize his ability and, you know... But I think that he's still flying under the radar to some degree.
I think people worry about his height. That's why he slides a lot in draft. People are like, oh, I want that big receiver that's going to catch touchdowns. But Antonio Brown, he's going to get touchdowns. Yeah. He's going to get yards. He's going to get targets. Like, I don't understand why the issue is there.
When you're Big Ben's go-to guy, you're going to get targets and touchdowns. So people don't worry about drafting him. Bold prediction? I'm not going to say where they'll rank, but I think the steel curtain will kind of come back. I think the defense that's been gone for a couple of years will start to, you know, re-emerge. I think people will start to fear the defense of the Steelers a bit more. I mean, like, the last couple of years, you know, the veteran, the old tag has come in regards to the Steelers, but I think with these, you know, this youthful look of the Steelers defense is going to... People will start to fear them again now.
When they flatten Johnny Manziel in week one,
there you go.
People are going to go, ooh, okay, but Steelers are back.
I think the even though the Ravens-Steelers rivalry is still entertaining to some degree, I think it'll be back this year.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue on with the Bengals.
The Bengals, the team that I think is going to come first.
Yep.
The key man for me is Dalton. I think it's definitely Dalton. I think that people were saying, you know, if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, he's not going to be... He might not be the quarterback come next season, right? But then with the contract extension now and things like that, I think he's going to have, you know, some comfortability there, some kind of...
He'll be more relaxed.
Yeah, he'll be relaxed in the pocket. I think you'll see that a little bit more. But I'm not going to say they're going to make a huge run to the Super Bowl. I think they will win a playoff game. That's going to be my bold prediction. They might actually win a playoff game, and the weight will be lifted from Dalton's shoulders. Fantasy MVP, I still think it's AJ Green. I don't think there's not too much else. I mean, the running back situation, Giovanni Bernard, I think, you know, people will still think he could break out and become this, you know, super running back, but I still think it's definitely AJ Green for me.
Yep. Scott?
I've got Andy Dalton as the key player as well. He got his contract a couple of weeks ago, but as most people know, there sort of is an asterisk on that. It's very heavily performance-based. They've got to get playoff wins under him. So I think he's going to use that fire to have a good season. And he's always been their key guy. I mean, I'm not quite sure who their backup is. It might be AJ McCarron this year. Who knows? But he's going to be their key guy. Jeremy Hill, I reckon, could be their X factor. I'm not quite sure how much of an impact Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is going to have this year. Obviously, Gio Bernard's their go-to guy, but they did draft Jeremy Hill. Obviously, rate him pretty highly, and they've always been a team that goes with the running back by committee. So I reckon he'll get some sneaky touches, a couple of touchdowns, and be a guy that can help them be pretty successful this year. AJ Green, as you said, he's got to be the fantasy stud. He's the second best receiver in the league in my books, behind Megatron. But I've got them missing the playoffs as my bold prediction. I don't think it's going to be because they don't deserve to make the playoffs. I just think it comes down to you can't have any more than six teams, and they're probably going to be team number seven.
Yeah, I see it. I can see that. It's tough in that division, definitely. I think they'll definitely have a wild card team in that division, though. My key player was Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill because of their new coaching staff. They're very run-heavy. I think that they're going to rely on the run. They're going to pound the rock. And I think Dalton will have like a secondary role on offense this year. So I think Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill are in for big seasons. I think the X factor here, I think Geno Atkins is their X factor. Only because they were lost without him last year, especially in the playoffs. And my fantasy MVP, despite him being out for 6 weeks now, I think you can get Marvin Jones really late. And he was the talk of the town in camp. He was going really well. Great second receiver to AJ Green. And I think he could be very valuable come playoffs in fantasy. My bold prediction, I don't have one for Cincinnati. They're just a team that I'm just like, eh. I just got nothing. I could not think of a thing. Maybe it's that they come second to Pittsburgh.
That's bold.
Yep. I'll kick us off with the Ravens, who I have coming third. I think I have three key players. I think it's their rookies that they drafted. They needed some energy and something to lift that team because they were thereabouts, but they just couldn't get over the line in games. So CJ Mosley, Terrence Brooks, and Timmy Jernigan are three game changers on defense, and you throw them in with my X Factor, Ladarius Webb and Haloti Ngata, and I just went blank on him. He's the internet mogul now.
Suggs.
Terrell Suggs.
Thank you.
That is a very, very good defense. I can't believe I went blank on that. My fantasy MVP might not be a very popular one. Ray Rice. I think the two-game suspension, he might slide a round or two. But if you can get him at the right time, I think he's slimmer, and in Gary Kubiak's system, I think he will have a good year. And a few players may pass on him because of moral standings. They don't want to, you know, draft a guy that hit his wife or punched his wife. But, you know, fantasy football, it's all about numbers. It's not a romance game. So I'll pass it off to Woot.
My key player is actually for the reason that you just mentioned. I have it being Ray Rice. Yep. The talk of the town is that he's slimmer. Yep. He looks faster. Maybe that's just, you know, maybe that's his way of getting his mind off all the drama that's happened in the off season with the whole wife incident. And in Gary Kubiak's new system, I mean, look what it did for
Foster.
Foster.
And Ben Tate.
Yep. When your backup running back's running that much, it's a good thing. So, I mean, I think that makes him a fantasy MVP too.
Yep.
But I think that you must draft Pierce if you draft Rice.
I think so.
Bold prediction? I don't know. No, I have nothing for this.
Flacco, I forgot mine.
Flacco might get more.
We'll join it. Right. I think when Steve Smith returns to Carolina, there will legitimately be blood.
Put your goggles on, because it's going to be blood and guts everywhere.
Some sort of blood will occur. That's all I'm going to say. I won't reveal anything else.
Probably from himself.
Maybe. He might injure himself. Scotty.
I've got Ray Rice as their key player as well. Sort of had a down year last year, but he's always been one of the top end running backs, reliable running backs in the league. You know, ultimately, they wouldn't have even made the playoffs, let alone won the Super Bowl, if they didn't convert that fourth and almost eternity against the Chargers.
Was it, it 4th and 29 or something?
4th and 29. Oh, yeah. And he beat four guys and then lunged.
Let's be honest, he should never have got that down.
No.
But he got that there.
Was terrible tackling and defense, but still, like, that's the kind of running back he is. If you're going to be in that spot, you know, a screen pass to Ray Rice is, you know, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
but he's going to be my key guy. Yeah, as you guys said, there's going to be a lot of news about him in terms of when he comes back. You know, morally, where does he stand in the league? But I think he's going to rebound. He's a strong enough will guy, and the Falcons organization is strong enough to be able to support him through it. He's going to have a fantastic year, I think. But Bernard Pierce will be my X factor, pretty much for the same reason. He's going to be starting the first two games, and I think for Ray Rice to have a good year, Pierce is going to have a good complementary role for the entire year as well. It's not just going to be a case of Pierce starts the first two games and then Rice comes back. I think Pierce is going to have to absorb a lot of the blows, because ultimately when Ray Rice goes into opposition stadiums, it's not going to be pretty. So, you know, Bernard Pierce is going to have to sort of deflect a bit of that craziness to help out Ray Rice. I think Joe Flacco is going to be a fantasy guy. If you're in a deeper league or even a 2QB league, I wouldn't sneeze at Joe Flacco. I think he's going to have a good year. He's got Steve Smith now. He's always had Torrey Smith, a couple of good tight ends. So he'll have a decent year in fantasy this year. He won't be a stud, but I think if he can get him in deeper leagues or 2QB leagues, go for your life. And I reckon, bold prediction, Steve Smith leads the team in receiving yards this year.
Wow. God. All right, to me, I can't see that happening. I can still see Torrey Smith running away with it. Actually, can I go back?
Matt White, the bold pick.
Yeah. Can I go back? I think Dennis Pitta will have, like, somewhat of a revival. I mean, he was hurt for so much of last season. So I think, you know, with Flacco with his safety blanket back, I think, you know, he could come back to fantasy relevance also.
I've got a question for you, too. If you're the Ravens organization, do you sit Ray Rice out of the women in the NFL round, or
I know what you mean.
Oh, that's a big question. Maybe an apology or but that's a
the breast cancer awareness round. You know, it's about sort of, you know, win. I don't know. I just maybe has a hamstring problem that game.
Yeah. Do you think?
Questionable.
Do you think Pierce steals the goal line work?
No.
You still think Rice gets it?
I think Ray Rice is a very good goal line back. I don't think you can deny that. Even last year, like, he did have his struggles, but I believe that was an injury problem. So I think he will have a good... I think Bernard Pierce is sort of a change of pace back.
Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah. All right, let's keep the show rolling.
Cleveland Browns. The key player for me is Mike Pettine, the coach.
You know he doesn't play,
right? He doesn't play it, but... I like what he did in Buffalo last year as a defensive coordinator, and I think this defense is so good. Like, he's going to make that... If they're going to go well this year, it's on defense.
You think that's... Like, I mean, I know he wasn't coach of Panthers, but, like, you know, similar thing, how the Panthers kept on giving the ball back to the offense? Do you think...
Just getting them... Yeah, just getting them turnovers and good field position, I think that can win them a lot more games than people think.
Yep.
And that's... They're my fantasy MVP. I think they're going, like, as like a 11th or 12th defense in fantasy, which I'll take every day. And my bold prediction is Cleveland defense becomes elite. I think they'll finish in the top 5 defenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Mike Pettine is the key guy for them this year. I think I really like his energy and the way he's been open to the media and just his answers to questions. I know he's been very mysterious about Johnny Manziel, but man, that must be getting on his nerves. So I think he's just throwing whatever he can out there to make people sort of write whatever they want.
Yep.
But and he's your X factor, Johnny Manziel. If he's not your X factor, I don't know who is.
Yeah, I think he just has to. Maybe stop rolling the $20 bills.
Who knows? All right, what do you got, Scott?
I've got a question for you though. First, who's going to be that leader and that stud on defense for the Browns?
For the Browns.
Yeah, who's the guy? I mean, every good defense has the guy. Who's going to be the Browns' like defensive leader?
I've got three guys in each at a different level. On front end defense, it's Barkevius Mingo. I think he's going to have a really good season. In the middle, Carlos Dansby. People forget how good he was last year for the Cardinals. And in the secondary, Joe Haden.
I love Joe Haden.
The Iron Haden.
I think Joe Haden is great.
Yeah, and now you got Justin Gilbert. That's a good pair of corners.
Yeah.
I just think they've just got playmakers at every level. I don't know. I really like their defense, and I can't wait to watch the Browns this year.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited, even though, you know, people are giving them a tough rap, even we did, but I mean, yeah, it's still going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they've finally gotten rid of the whole Whedon debacle, and now it's on to
move on now. Like, I think everything's going up for them now.
The city of Cleveland is on the up.
It's buzzing right now. It's probably going to be TripAdvisor, you know, top 10 destinations next year or something like that.
Wow.
That's a bold prediction. sorry, Scott.
The bold predictions.
Yeah.
A non-player is their key player as well. I've actually got Mr. Commissioner Roger Goodell because I think the success or lack thereof for Cleveland this year is going to depend on whether or not Josh Gordon is suiting up this year. That ultimately sits in Goodell's hands. 16 games seems to be the thing that people are throwing around. He seems to have this defense that it was a secondhand smoke. It should be a 16-game suspension. So even if he only misses, say, 4 to 8, and he does get some playing time this year, that might be enough. He did miss time last year and still led the league in receiving yards. So I think Goodell, whether or not he punishes Gordon severely, is going to really have a massive impact on the Browns because, what have they got behind Josh Gordon big question. And then Brian Hoyer. I am an unabashed Brian Hoyer fan, and he is my X Factor. I know that Johnny Manziel is going to start because ultimately you don't draft the megastar out of college football in the first round, trade up to get him, and don't start him at some point. But Brian Hoyer is going to be this week one starter. He's probably going to be the starter within, probably by week six, he'd still be hanging around. And I think that he's a guy, if Fenton got injured last year, I'm not quite sure Cleveland really would have been in the Johnny Manziel sweepstakes in the draft in the first place because he was having a decent season before he did his ACL.
Yep.
And as I said, I'm an unabashed fan, and I really hope that he can have, for the first 6 weeks or however long he's in for, have a really good, honest season, because when Manziel does take over, I really want him to be in a position where, I know he's an Ohio guy, and you obviously don't want to take him out of his home state, but I think come the end of the year, I'd like to see him in a position where another team who needs a quarterback says that Brian Hoyer could be their guy.
Kind of like a Matt Flynn situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then I've got Andrew Hawkins as the fantasy guy. I think in deeper leagues, they nicked him from the Bengals. If Josh Gordon is out, which more than likely he's going to be, Hawkins is going to be a target for them. And I think he's going to have some sneaky good stats this year. And my Cleveland Browns bold prediction, running off the Brian Hoyer thing, I reckon Johnny Manziel starts less than 6 games this year. That is not the reaction you want from a bold prediction.
We're Brian Hoyer fans, or I am, so, I'm happy with that. I'll be glad with that.
I'm hoping someone fell off their chair. I'm hoping there's someone in the Johnny Manziel camp who's just, hunting me down, wants my address, and wants to have a word with me about that, because that's blasphemous.
Well, I'll start it off by saying key player is Johnny.
Yeah.
I think Johnny will start week one. So I'm going against the grain here, I think. I think, as soon as he came on the field in preseason, the crowd just erupted. People just wanted to see him run. I don't think they even wanted to see him throw. I think they were just waiting for it. I mean, I think the organization, even though it's not right, and they should be giving Hoyer, time. He played well last year in the two games that he played.
I think it was three. The third game is where he got injured.
Yeah, well, I mean, he played good in those games. So I think that it's unfair on him, but I believe that they're gonna start Johnny. And I think that, I think he's definitely going to be the key. I think if he slides if he slides well and keeps out of harm, I honestly don't think he makes it through the whole season if
he dives
head first into tackles and things like that. I'll leave it there. It's kind of up in the air who starts anyway. Yep. So I mean, I'll say X Factor. Okay. This is tough. I think Terrence West is gonna step up. They're high on him. It's just the buzz around Cleveland camp that Terrence West is looking great. He's exciting. He's fast, etc. I mean, I know they brought Ben Tate in.
Yep.
But it just seems that no one's that excited to see Ben Tate. I think Terrence West will he'll definitely make a huge impact. This is a similar way that Bernard did, even though Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was the man in town. So I think
I like that comparison.
Terrence West will have a similar role. I'll say a fantasy MVP. That's a tough one actually. I wanted to say Johnny, that he could become like the next RG3 Vic kind of fantasy player, but I think...
Well, he did run a lot in that preseason game. He did. So that does give you some value.
He ran in a similar way to Vic to me. Like, I was watching him. Just the similarities. Anyway, you know what? I'll make my fantasy MVP and my ball prediction the same.
Okay.
I'll say that Josh Gordon has the most receiving yards out of any...
Browns
receiver.
That is bold. Before the decision is in.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
By the way, I think he gets an 8-game suspension.
You reckon 8?
I think they.
If he tested his B sample first, he wouldn't be in this. No. It's ridiculous. But that's the drugs and sport problem. We see it over here with all this ASADA business as well. There seems to be issues everywhere. But anyway, we're going off track. AFC South, blockbuster division. Just full of studs.
Let's power through this division.
This is going to be a quick one. I've got Colts first. I don't need to say more. It's just that the rest are terrible. I've got Titans coming in second, which might surprise some. I've seen them rank fourth in the division. I have Jaguars coming third and Texans fourth.
Yeah, I've got exactly the same. So, Scott, anything different?
I've got Colts, Texans, Titans, Jags.
There you go. Oh. All right, well, kick us off with your Colts, Scott.
I reckon the key player this year is going to be Trent Richardson. Andrew Luck, I think everyone knows what Luck's going to do, so it'd be a bit of a cop-out to go with him as a key player, but I'm sure, as you'd know, Josh, that running game in Indianapolis, it's been hapless, but it's also been really unfortunate what's been happening, especially with Vic Ballard the last 2 years. They just can't get things right. They've got the talent there, but it's very similar to... I mean, Matt Hasselbeck said this himself. It's very similar to what happened with Marshawn Lynch after he left Buffalo to go to Seattle. And there was those growing pains and that integration problem where he didn't really have a fantastic start with the Seahawks. But then once he actually got some time pre-season working with the team, he became a fantastic running back, and I think that's what's going to happen with Trent Richardson this year. He's not going to be a superstar, but I think he's going to be a guy that people are going to say, yep, the Colts actually won that trade. Trent Richardson has finally become something, and you can go from there. The X factor, I'm going on purely what you've told me why and what I've heard a few scuttlebutts about. Bjorn Werner, I think this might be his breakout year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my boy. I got him as X Factor as well. He's just every camp report I've read is Bjorn Werner. And in the preseason game, he was putting pressure on every throw that Geno was making. He only registered 2 tackles, but he was just in the quarterback's face all the time. So I'm really glad because I know it's tough to call someone a bust after one season, but I was really disliking that pick at the end of the season. But now I'm starting to get a little bit excited.
I've got Andrew Luck as my fantasy guy. He's a perfectly good starter at quarterback for you. He's going to score plenty of points. He's got guys to throw to, and I think he's going to have another fantastic year, and he'll be your fantasy stud. And going back to the Trent Richardson thing, I'm going to go with a bold prediction. T. Rich is going to finish top 5 in rushing yards this season.
Oh, Jesus.
Go bold or go home, baby.
Oh, my God.
Is there any more room?
Yeah. All right, my key player is Andrew Luck. Enough said, and you'll see why when I give you my bold prediction. My fantasy MVP is Dwayne Allen. I'm so glad he's back. By the way, my X Factor was Bjorn Werner. But Dwayne Allen, in his rookie year, according to Pro Football Focus, he was the second best tight end in football.
Yeah, so...
Blocking stud, receiving stud, just everything. He's just so good. I think he will really help Trent Richardson. And if Trent Richardson does play out Scott's bold prediction, Dwayne Allen will be the reason why. He's going to open up holes for him. But I actually think Ahmad Bradshaw will be our guy this year over T. Ridge. I just didn't like what I saw first. I know it was only preseason, but he just looks slow and I don't know. He just doesn't look right. Just doesn't look like a running back. I'm so sad Vic Ballard is gone. Like, I'm generally so upset about that. It's not even fair. My bold prediction is that Andrew Luck will win every single award this year, like every award, and he might become president of the United States.
I'm not paid to make those decisions.
So even defensive player.
Yeah, he'll win everything.
He'll win rookie.
He'll make a tackle after, like, throwing an interception, and it'll be the best hit of the year.
It'll be a fumble, and he'll recover and score a touchdown.
Yeah, he will win everything. He may be president.
I'm not paid to make those decisions.
Wow, that's bold. Scott tried
that's probably less bold than Scott's.
President with a neck beard.
Yep. Abe Lincoln. Bring him back.
That was a chin beard.
Oh, all right. Okay. So I wasn't alive then, sorry.
I'll fly through them. Key players, Luck, yep. I think, obviously. X Factor, I'm just going to go with what you said. You both, you know, you convinced me.
I'm really hoping he's, like, because we need it. Mathis is out for 4 weeks.
All right, man, if he's going that well, okay. Like you said last year, he didn't look, you know.
Nah.
He kind of just looked like he was a little
switching
bit
from 4-3 to 3-4, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt last year now.
Yep. Fantasy MVP, not as high on him as Scott is, but I do think that people will regret passing on Trent Richardson. I think he will have a better season. I think
it's all about value. If you can get him in a good round,
exactly. That's all fantasy is, value picking. Yeah, I do think he'll have a better season. I think people will regret passing on him. Yeah. And he's kind of going around in the same area as Vereen and Ridley, and that's just a flip of the coin. Like, yeah. People are struggling to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bold prediction. That's a tough one. Let's see.
Luck will be president.
Luck will be president. Josh is yelling in my ear.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. I don't even know. I was thinking at the start of the year that Hakeem Nicks could become, you know, that guy again. But I just don't think that's going to happen. We'll say Reggie Wayne gets back to his old ways before the season's out. I think he'll become that, you know, consistent safety net, red zone. All right, we'll say he gets over 10 touchdowns.
Yeah. All right, there you go. That's massive. All right, who did you have coming in second, Scott?
I had the Texans.
All right, well, you kick us off with that.
Well, I'll start with my bold prediction. I reckon they'll come in second. They'll have a 10-win season this year, I reckon.
Oh, God.
Far out.
That's your worst. That's terrible.
No, that, like, there is a reason for it.
All right.
I know history is not always the greatest thing to go off, but, I mean, the last two number one picks, or teams that had the number one pick, have transitioned from worst to first, or in the Chiefs' case, worst to second, but playoff teams. And I think they're one of those teams that, much like the Colts, who, I mean, they were good, they just didn't have Peyton Manning, and then the Chiefs, when they finished last, they were a team with six Pro Bowlers who finished last. I think the Texans are sort of in that boat where they're not a terrible team. I mean, they won their first two games last year and then lost their next 14.
Sounds bad, doesn't it?
They're not a woeful team that you sort of say, okay, they were the worst team. And they're going to have a very weak schedule this year as a result of it, which means that they're going to be able to accrue very simple wins. They could easily go 4-2, if not 5-1 in that division. They're going to play the NFC East, so they could probably beat all four of us, even as an Eagles fan.
Come on, Scott.
I reckon that'll be a 10-win season for them. And then across the board, JJ Watt, JJ Watt, JJ Watt.
Yep.
I like to say JJ Watt.
Cool. My key player for them is Foster because they have nothing else on offense. I don't like their offense this year. My X factor is Brian Cushing and Brooks Reed. I think with Watt and Clowney on the outside, I think they're gonna thrive in the middle, especially against the run. My MVP is again Foster. I think he's just gonna catch a lot of gonna get a lot of carries and catch a lot of passes. And my bold prediction is that Case Keenum will start the most games at quarterback for the Texans this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick is terrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I'll say key player is definitely Foster. There's nothing else besides Foster.
Yeah.
X Factor, I just think, is their it's their pass rush. I think, you know, I think they took Clowney because he was a once-in-a-generation kind of player.
Yep.
And now, you know, it's him and Watt. I mean, sorry, Andrew Luck. That's terrifying.
I know.
That is terrifying.
I'm scared.
But then again, you know, they don't have too much else. I mean, the defense isn't horrible, but it's the offense that looks to have the problems. I mean, the whole Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
He's a stud as a wide receiver.
Like, I'm not saying, I'm not having a go at him when I say they have nothing else, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's their quarterback.
Yeah.
I just can't see it. Like, he'll catch passes and score touchdowns, but not at the rate at which we would like to see.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the X factor was the pass rush. Fantasy MVP. All right, so I think Foster's already having injuries, right?
Yeah.
I think the player to look out for is, I'm pretty sure the backup's last name is Grimes. Grimes?
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's going to go undrafted. Yeah, so someone's going to pick him up.
People are probably thinking, who is that right now?
Yeah, and you watch. Foster, he's already got niggling injuries. He's just, you know, he's made of glass. I think he's going to, you know, whoever picks him up early is going to regret it. He's going to fall over. Yeah. Grimes is going to step in, and then he looked good in preseason.
Yeah. It's either him or Alfred Blue.
Because
they dropped Andre Brown.
Which was really surprising to me.
That was surprising to me.
So that's just, I think we'll leave that. The excuse was that there wasn't enough playing time because they got pumped in preseason their first game. It was 30-something nil.
If you're going to blame on Andre Brown for your preseason woes, and you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I've got them coming forth.
Bold prediction, I'll say that Clowney has more sacks than Watt.
That's pretty bold. All right, we'll go with the Titans. My key player is Jake Locker. I think Ken Wisenhunt's going to be great for him. The X factor is Bishop Sankey. We don't really know what we're going to get out of him. He could be like a Le'Veon Bell last year. Who knows? And my fantasy MVP is Delanie Walker. There's a lot of talk about the wide receivers from the Titans, but I think Delanie Walker is dropping, and if you miss out on some of those elite tight ends or even the semi-elite tight ends that you're getting in the round 10, Delanie Walker might be there for you very late. And my bold predictions going off what I said about Jake Locker, I think Ken Wisenhunt works his magic on Locker, and I think he has his best season. I think he'll stay healthy and start all 16 games.
Yeah. I'll go. Titans, key player. It's hard to go past Locker. It is. He looked good last season before getting hurt. I think he looked really good. I was contemplating picking him up in my fantasy draft because, you know, there was hype around him saying that he was throwing the ball really well.
Yep.
With the whole Ken Wisenhunt, Wisenhunt. Yep. Yeah. He can only go up. I think if he gets hurt again, it's Mettenberger looks like the man. So. X factor. I'm not gonna go with Sankey. Sankey seems to. It's a flip of the coin how he's gonna perform as well. I think. I think Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter. I mean Kendall Wright. He played solid. He was really solid last year. I think if Hunter can perform and it's Justin Hunter.
Yep.
Justin Hunter is the second wide receiver at the Titans over there. I think if he can perform. They have a pretty decent a pair of wide receivers in Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter. I don't think they get enough credit.
No, they drafted well there.
Yeah, fantasy MVP, I think I'll go Kendall Wright. I think he's going late, but I think he's in a good position to perform. Bold prediction, I'll say that Sankey has a horrible year. I'll say that he averages less than 3.5 yards a carry, or less than 3 yards a carry.
Oh, wow, okay, so a T-Rich 2013.
Yeah.
All right. Scott?
Yeah, I've got Jake Locker as my key player as well. I think he's going to have a breakout year. If you remember in the Stonecutter mock draft we did, I had the Titans taking Blake Bortles with their first pick.
That's right.
But I have grown on Locker. I think he's got a good offensive line in front of him this year.
Yep.
He's even got a bit of depth now because they picked up an O-lineman in the draft this year.
Yep.
But he's going to be protected this year. He's got a few weapons, as you boys were saying. And their X-Factor, I reckon, is going to be McCluster. He's a guy they bought across from the Chiefs who he's going to be able to be important in their return game, but also as a running back and as a weapon for them. I think he's actually ahead at the moment of Sankey on the depth chart at running back. So all this love for Bishop Sankey, but McCluster could be the guy that sort of springs up on everyone and,
yep,
and has a decent year.
I'll be honest, I totally forgot about him.
McCluster.
Yeah, yep. I was just, he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of in limbo, what his role's going to be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm happy he's going to probably be in the return game. How much he's in the running game will be left to be seen, but I think he's going to be important enough. They went out and got him for a reason, so it's not as if they just got him for depth and hoped he could play a role. I think he's going to be an integral part of what they try and do this year. But I do have Bishop Sankey as my fantasy guy. I think he's a guy that, I mean, most people tend to sort of stray away from rookies purely because they're not quite sure how they're going to produce. I mean, you look at a guy like Eddie Lacy a year ago, some people might have picked him up in, you know, rounds five plus, but this year, you know, you're talking about him round one in some cases. So now that you know what you're getting from the rookie, people might sort of stray away from Sankey, but I think he's a safe enough bet. He was a fantastic college player. I loved watching him at Washington. And he's got Sean Green and McCluster around him, so he's not going to get too tired too early. I think he's going to be looked after, and he's going to be able to perform for his fantasy owners.
Yep.
My bold prediction, I wrote this down this afternoon, but I've actually changed my mind. So I don't have a bold prediction for the Titans, but I was going to say that Jake Locker wouldn't make it through the season without being benched. But then I realised that Charlie Whitehurst is their backup, and there's no way that Locker, even if he doesn't have a fantastic year. My benching was pretty much based on just when you're in this point of your career, it's probably a career year for him to really show that he was worth a top 10 pick.
Yep.
So the benching wasn't so much about the play, it was more just to do with he might not live up to the expectation this year and they might sort of give up on him. But I mean, I'm happy to go with your bold pick of saying that Locker might actually last the season and you know, have a pretty big impact and prove that he was worthy of a top 10 pick.
Yep. All right, you can finish with our AFC predictions by going through the Jaguars.
The Jaguars, probably the most irrelevant team in the most irrelevant market in the NFL, but I think they're going to be an average team this year. My bold pick is actually they're going to finish with an 8-8 record.
Ooh, I like the Jags.
Yeah.
I think the Jags, I mean, while the Jags have been bad, they've been trending down bad. I mean, they've really not had much hope. Blaine Gabbert did not work out. Maurice Jones-Drew the last 2 years has been, you know, near irrelevant. And it's sort of been a what is going on in Jacksonville sort of situation. Are they going to move to LA? And they've been trending down in a bad way. Whereas now, I think at worst, they're going to be bad, but they're going to be trending upwards bad, where you're going to look at them and say, this is going to be an important year for the guys that are coming through, like Bortles and Marquise Lee and that. I think Toby Gerhardt's going to be their key player. You know, he's the kind of guy, I mean, much like a guy like Michael Turner, who was behind LT, goes to another team and actually gets his chance to play. I think Gerhardt, he was behind Adrian Peterson. If you're going to have an apprentice or someone to mentor off, Adrian Peterson probably ticks most of the boxes.
Not bad.
Yeah.
So Gerhardt, I think he's going to be a key player for them. He's going to be solid for them in being able to actually set up the foundation on offense. Gus Bradley's obviously going to try and make them a defensive team, which is why I have Jonathan Cyprian as their X factor. I think if he was in a bigger market on a better team, he would be considered one of the best secondary players in the league. You know, I think he's going to have a breakout year, and he's going to be on the map, Pro Bowl type player, where people are going to be saying, "Dan, we need to watch more Jaguars games because that defense of Jonathan Cyprian is pretty scary." And then fantasy wise, I'm going with Paul Posluszny because if you're in a IDP league, grab him because he's going to be a tackle machine, and he's going to be someone. I couldn't really think of too many offensive guys to take in fantasy, so I went with Posluszny.
Yep, cool. My key player was Gus Bradley, similar to what I said about the Browns and Mike Patine. I think he's building a sort of a mini Seattle, and if you watch their preseason game against the Buccaneers, despite the Buccaneers having a piss poor offensive line, they manhandled them, absolutely dominated them, stopped everything. So their D line, I think, is their X factor, and they're going to feed off Gus Bradley, who I have as their key player. I think their defensive line's pretty underrated. You got Clemens, Bryant, Branch, and Posluszny. It's not bad at all. And my fantasy MVP is Blake Bortles. I think if you can get him, you know, off the waiver wire at the right time, he might be a stud with Marquise Lee, Cecil Shorts, and Allen Robinson. And I don't think Justin Blackman will be back there, which would have made it a lot more appealing for Bortles. But still, those three wide receivers are not bad at all. And don't forget Mercedes Lewis, a tight end. He's a pretty good tight end.
Yeah.
Played Pro Bowl. So my bold prediction is Bortles will take over in week four. And he might challenge for second in the division, even though I have him finishing third.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard with the Jags because, like, to me, I really like the Jags, and like you wish them the best because like, it's kind of similar to Cleveland fans. They've had nothing. You're kind of hoping that the fans in Jacksonville have something to cheer about.
Yeah.
Like you, I think Bortles will eventually take over. So I think, but I think I thought he played pretty solid in the preseason game. I thought it was it's preseason, so you can't read into it too much. People look good in preseason, come out first game of the regular season and look atrocious. So I mean, but I do think he'll come out. He'll play pretty decent. He'll give fans hope. X factor. That's an interesting one. I think Cecil Shorts will really have to step up. I mean, Blackman's Blackman. Let's leave that. It's kind of a Josh Gordon situation. Yep. There's not that many, you know, targets to throw to. So, I mean, Cecil Shorts is going to have that year that he had two seasons ago.
His rookie year.
And, I mean, he's going to have to really show, like, that kind of form to for the Jags to have any hope. Fantasy MVP.
Someone's broken into our studio. There's been noises all night.
It's an elaborate plan because it's happening for a while.
Hostile takeover.
I think... yeah, fantasy MVP will be Toby Gerhardt, however you say it. Yep. I think I'm hoping he has a good season. I'm hoping he's the white Marshawn Lynch.
Can you say that?
I did say that. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch is he's beast. That's his nickname. So yep. I hope he has a
white chocolate.
White chocolate. I think he'll. Not so much the same yardage and the same, you know, ability of Marshawn Lynch, but I think that kind of similar to Zach Stacy, purely volume, I think, is why he'll be the fantasy MVP for the Jaguars. Yeah. I think he's not going to have huge yardage, but if he gets the same number of carries that, like, Zach Stacy was getting for the Rams last year, he could really get some points.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, before we finish up on our AFC preview, we're just going to quickly go through our brackets for the playoffs, and that'll involve our seeds. I'll get Scott to start us off.
Well, as I said, I've got my bold prediction for the Broncos not finishing with the top two seed. So I've got my division winners as the Patriots, the Steelers, the Colts, and the Broncos. And I reckon it'll be the Patriots one. You'll like this, Josh. I've got the Colts coming in two.
Ooh.
And then I've got the Broncos three, and then the Steelers as the number four. Then my wild cards will be the Chargers at number five and the Ravens at number six.
All right. So how does that work out? How are you seeing that? What battles have you got week one?
So week one, that would be the Ravens visiting Denver.
Yep.
And then you'll also have the Chargers visiting the Steelers.
Yep.
I think that the Broncos will knock off the Ravens at home. And I think that the Chargers might head into Heinz Field and knock off the Steelers, which means that the Chargers and the Broncos will go to the second round.
Yep. And then what? And then how would that work further on?
That would then work out with the Patriots taking on the Chargers.
Yep.
And then a trip with Peyton Manning and the Broncos back to Indianapolis to take on Andrew Luck.
All right.
That would be another fantastic, probably the best playoff game of the playoffs in terms of a matchup.
Oh, yep.
How does this unfold?
How does that unfold?
That unfolds with the Patriots and the Broncos taking each other on in the AFC title game.
Cool. All right, so who do you have representing the AFC in the Super Bowl?
The AFC representative in the Super Bowl is going to be the New England Patriots.
Okay. I think I might be on the outer here with you two. I have Denver finishing as the number one seed, Patriots at number two, I have the Colts at the number 3 seed, Steelers at number 4, Cincinnati at 5, and Chargers at 6. So I have the Steelers versus Cincinnati week 1. Man, I swear someone is breaking in here.
This sounds like fire.
It's crazy. So I have the Steelers versus Cincinnati and the Colts taking on the Chargers. So that means that in week 2 I have the Colts playing the Patriots and the Steelers playing Denver. And then I have Patriots v. Broncos in the AFC Championship, and I have the Broncos returning to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Yep.
So, all right. I have the winners of the four divisions as Denver, number 1, the Patriots, number 2, Colts, number 3, and the Bengals is number 4.
Yep.
The fifth seed is the... I was about to say Cincinnati Steelers. That would be an interesting team.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers, and number 6 is the San Diego Chargers. So my week 1 matchups are Pittsburgh taking on the Bengals, and I have the Colts and the Chargers.
Yep.
My bold prediction was that the Bengals win a playoff game, so you know, yep. I had to stick to that. So I have them beating the Steelers, and then they'll go on to versus Denver, and I have the Colts edging out the Chargers and going to play the Patriots.
Yep.
So then I have a similar matchup as last year, where yep. the Patriots beat the Colts. I think it'll be a more passing game yep. this year without
LeGarrette Blount.
No, LeGarrette Blount, 4 touchdowns, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have the Pats progressing past the Colts. I have Denver knocking off the Bengals, and then like you both, I both have the Patriots and Broncos returning to the AFC, and I have, wait for it, the Patriots
okay.
winning the AFC.
And you've got a bracket
I have in brackets with Gronk. So I think without Gronk, I don't think the Patriots make the AFC title game. I don't think they win.
Yep.
And but, you know, okay. certainly with a healthy Gronk is a completely different...
I think it's safe to say that a lot of people are expecting it to be a Patriots-Broncos AFC title game. And I think it's a pretty safe bet. Would you all agree?
I wouldn't call it a safe bet, but I think that it's... I can't see another team really threatening them. It's going to have to be a collapse by one of those teams not to make the AFC title game.
Alrighty. That's the AFC preview show, and... hang in there, and we'll have the NFC one up in a couple of days. So stay tuned, and you can follow us on Twitter at WootNY. I'm also at JoshY.
And I'm at JoshWoot.
Reach me at either AUSScottL, which is my work one, doing great work with American universities, and also at Sportrepreneur, which is easier to spell than it is to say.
It is quite tricky to say and spell. Nonetheless, we will wrap it up, and ciao.
Peace. Ice up, son. Ice up.